Mundus podcast.
Radio for each sparrow.
Hello and welcome to the Mondas podcast. Today we have podcast royalty on the Mondas podcast. We have Stephen from the Radio Free Scorro. He's the poster boy of Doctor Who podcast. So it's great to have Stephen on board.
Hi there, Ian.
So Stephen, how was Gallifrey, the convention in LA that everyone's very jealous about? How was it? Did you enjoy it?
Well, it was fantastic. As always, it's this is our fourth Gallifrey. We've been going since 2009, and our first one we went to, I think, was something about 1350. I think, the attendance, and this one was over 3200. I think, or close to. So the thing has increased like exponentially. It's just huge now, but the feel is the same, you know. The it's a very community feeling, so to speak. But it never felt like it was out of control. Like there wasn't enough like rampant drunkenness or something like that to sort of destroy any good vibes, so to speak. So it was very, very cool.
So what was your highlight of Gallifrey then, the thing that really stands out? Because I know it might be a bit of a daze now for you, but what one thing you think, oh, that was amazing?
Crikey, highlight. You know what, actually, just because we're with the podcast, we did a lot of interviews and stuff, I never actually saw any panels. So like everyone else you might talk to or something would say, oh, well, you know, seeing William Russell being interviewed or get a huge standing ovation apparently in the opening ceremonies, which I didn't go to, and I kind of regret that. Actually, that would have been really neat to see. And then at the very end, the last part of the convention during the closing ceremony, Simon Fisher Becker, Doria Moldovar himself, sort of repeated his lines at the very end of it, the ones at the end of Winning a River Song, where he sort of says, you know, the eternal question, Doctor Who, and he did that to the crowd to much acclaim and excitement. Highlight of the event, though, I have to admit, is just seeing all the friends that we have from around the globe, be it podcasters, be it friends, be it girlfriends, be it anyone really. I think it's the social aspect. It's sort of Gallifrey is like an excuse to get together, basically. It's an excuse to meet in one place and sort of bond over their, you know, shared love of Doctor Who, but really, you know, rarely talk about it oddly enough. And that goes as far as guests and celebrities, so to speak, because there's a big Thursday night party in the lobby. LobbyCon is it's called. And it's weird because you see many of the convention guests will just be in the lobby mingling around with attendees, and it's almost like it's a great leveler, and that everyone starts the weekend off on even footing at that point, because they've all sort of drank in the same place and partied in the same place. And you know, you would see Toby Haynes and Bartomy Edwards and Nick Briggs and I think maybe even Camille Couturier made her way down there too, I'm not too sure. But it's just neat to have to be able to just drink and chat like normal human beings with you know, these people who make our favorite show. So I think it's a social aspect that's the highlight of the event.
So how did the live Radio Free Scorer go then? Live in front of a studio audience.
I was pleased. I was pleased. I think we were all pleased with how the show went. It pretty much went off without a hitch. There was a slight technical glitch for Chip's bit, which was, by the way, if you haven't seen Chip's 2 Minute Time Lord presentation, it's, I think he's posted our backup copy on YouTube, and the audio versions on the podcast that you can hear too, which was just, I mean, a few people were crying in the audience. It was just beautifully done by Chip. He had memorized it as well. He wasn't reading it off a card or anything like that. So that was just fantastic. But it was weird because we were on stage. We opened the event at noon on the Friday, and we had Camille Kaduri, Barnaby Edwards, Toby Haynes, Simon Fisher-Becker, and then Gary Russell to close it out. And we were just terrified. We were terrified beforehand because we were on like in front of, I want to say 200 or 300 or 400 people, I think, to open the whole convention. So we were, I wouldn't say stage fright, but I think we sort of lost the nerves probably only about a minute or two in, oddly enough. Maybe I have to credit because the lights were turned down low so you could see the video screen that we couldn't see the audience. I think it would have freaked if I had actually been able to look out at the various faces looking back at me. So that would actually helped a lot. But it was still kind of frightening because I would see Chip was doing our technical side. He was sort of running things on the side there, making sure we were on time and the various video vignettes that were playing during the course of the show played well. But I would see him run back and forth a couple times to the stage manager, Suze. And only after did I find out that they didn't know where Toby Haynes was just a few minutes before his segment. As it turned out, he was sitting with Richard Senior, another Doctor Who director, in the audience watching the show. And I had spoke to Camille Kaduri before the show and Barnaby and Simon, but I hadn't spoken to Gary Russell. I didn't know where he was. And so whenever I would just sort of blindly say, and now everyone, Simon Fisher-Becker, I looked over to the side of the stage and hoping that someone would appear because they didn't really have a way to get in contact with me to tell me that a guest was not going to be there. So there was a slight nervousness whenever a guest was coming up. But no, it went great. It was a lot of fun. Camille Kaduri was a blast. Toby Haynes was excellent. He just went on and on. I think we talked to him for about 20 minutes about directing. And Gary Russell, he's excellent. And Barnaby Edwards was quite superb, actually. Actually, they all were. Simon Fisher-Becker was lovely as well. It was a really good show. I really rather enjoyed it. Yeah, it was a blast. It took a lot of work planning for it, but I think it paid off.
So what's it like meeting other podcasters? You know, you maybe chatted them on Skype, like me, or you've emailed them or whatever. What's it like to kind of actually meet them in person? Is it a bit strange or is it fun, you know?
No, it isn't, actually. Because the weird thing about podcasting is that we hear each other's voices all the time. And we're not radio announcers or anything like that. We're not like in a professional mode where we're reading script the whole time. So we hear each other's conversations on the other end. So it isn't actually, and it's weird. Even Twitter allows that to happen as well. I think a lot of people, like my girlfriend who lives, in Madison, Wisconsin, far away from me, unfortunately, but she had met a lot of people who she was talking with on Twitter leading up to the convention. And she, like, it was just like that Twitter conversation over the past few months had just become just now it was an audio conversation. There was just no, you know, awkward silences or anything like that. And I don't know if we met, Paul from Pharos Project last year, little Pete from Pharos though, this was his first. And so we, you know, we got along quite well. I don't think we met anyone. There actually was a lot less podcasters this year, at least anyone that I knew of or that I talked to, than there were in previous years. Last year, there was an epic amount. There's Doctor Who podcast and Podshock was there. Staggering Stories and the Oodcast. But all those weren't there this year, which is a bit of a shame. But I understand that a lot of them are coming back next year, and perhaps you will, or perhaps even Radio Rassilon will come down one day and visit. But it'll be good to see you all.
A trip to LA with the Rassilon boys would be amazing. Obviously, money permitting, and Rassilon babies as well, obviously. But yeah, it'd be amazing to catch up with the Podshot guys, Scorer guys, obviously, and all the other podcasters in the world. So which Doctor Who legend did you manage to meet at Gallifrey that you always wanted to meet? Who's the one that stands out?
Well, we did daily podcasts from the convention, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, I think was when they came out. And so we had interviews. We had just a bunch of podcasts meeting up on the Thursday show, and then our live show was on Friday. And then the next three were all interviews, four or five per episode. And so I met a good few people. Louise Jameson was a highlight because she was my first companion when I first watched the show. And she was lovely. I meet Philip Siegel, Richard Senior, Richard Franklin, Captain Yates, of course, Michael Troughton, talked about his dad, the book that he wrote. Philip Siegel, though, that was something else. He was, the guy behind the Fox TV movie, which, you know, opinions aside about the actual product that eventually came out, it was neat to talk to the guy who actually fought hard for 7 years to make it happen. And it was so cool because, you know, you could tell he was a TV executive, because other people we would contact for interviews and sort of say, oh yes, I'm free at this time here, maybe, you know, kind of, we do that later, or this, that sort of thing. Philip Siegel walked in to the convention. We were in the green room at the time, and he just arrived at the convention. We said, oh, well, better time than right now to actually ask him if he wants to do an interview. And he says, yeah, let's do it right now. Here we go. You know, just like boom, boom, boom. Like, he's a TV executive. He wants to get things done. So we talked to him. That was pretty cool. But I have to say, the highlights duel, we're talking to Waris Hussein, who directed the very first story, An Unearthly Child, back in 63, and William Russell as Ian Chesterton, 87 years old, the very first companion, if you don't count Susan. Just a thrill to talk to William Russell. You know, there's not much that you can ask him, that he hasn't been asked over the past 48 years, but, you know, just to be able, I mean, it was weird. It was me and Ken Deep, we're interviewing him in a hallway by the green room, and there was like a small crowd of people who were there. Just, I mean, the green room is, you know, not open to the normal convention attendees. So there are people actually of the convention hanging around and watching and taking pictures and, you know, clapping at the end. It was just, oh, such a moment to talk to him. Was really lucky. Felt really, really lucky and really fortunate about pretty much every interview we managed to get, because everyone in Doctor Who is just wonderful to talk to, and there's so many stories to hear.
So what's your hopes for the new season of Doctor Who, season 7, that's just started filming? What's your kind of tips and predictions for it then?
I don't know. I'm looking forward to the sort of the lack of a, well, supposed lack of a arc that goes over the whole series. I think it would be kind of neat to get back into, you know, one-off stories. But I have to say, the one thing I'm most, my hopes for season 7 is that it's not Matt Smith's last, because he's my favorite Doctor of all time, I think, right now. And I would hate to see him go now. And I get the impression, I mean, they're shooting 14 episodes, which, you know, amounts to 13 episode series plus a Christmas special, which will be interesting, because the Christmas special will actually occur midway through the season, which hasn't happened since the series came back. So it'll be intriguing to see that. I'm very intrigued to see what they do with that. But yeah, I just hope it's not Matt Smith's last. And I think I among many other people speculated that they'll be shooting series 7 and series 8 back to back. And allow Matt Smith to shoot everything in regards to Doctor Who, and then Series 8, of course, will go out in the autumn of 2013, the 50th anniversary. and then leave at the end of that. But that might be wishful thinking on my part. I'm not too sure.
So have you heard the new Tom Baker audios yet? And if so, did you enjoy them?
No, I actually haven't. I'm not a huge Big Finish listener. And that's no slight against Big Finish, because, I mean, a lot of the people who write those are very talented, and some have even gone on to write for the TV series itself. And I've interviewed and met a good few people who do them. And they do wonderful work. But audio drama is just not a thing that I've ever been into. And it could be because audio drama is not really a thing in Canada or even North America. It sort of went out when TV came back in. You in England sort of kept it going. So I haven't really listened to that many. But I've heard clips. I think the Big Finish podcast had the first 10 minutes of Destination Nerva on it, which was intriguing to hear him. Tom Baker, in, you know, his voice has obviously changed. And it wasn't quite Tom Baker from the Hinchcliffe era, so to speak. It was a newer Tom Baker, that's for sure. I think Louise Jameson does a great job at Leela. She was in that. Maybe it would just take a little getting used to, perhaps, because he had such a booming baritone back in the day, and it's not quite there anymore in his late 70s, but that's not his fault. I don't know if I'd buy one, just because I don't listen to the audio drama as much. I find my mind drifts. I'm not a very attentive listener, so I don't know how much I'd get out of it. But the brief clips that I've heard are mildly intriguing, we'll say.
Is there any chance of a Radio Free Skull live tour across the UK, playing Wembley and the O2 or anything? Or?
A live tour. I mean, all three of us are in very different parts of Canada, the second largest nation on earth. So it's not that we're ever in the same place at the same time. And when that time is, it's in LA usually. But I will tell you that we are planning a trip to the UK in 2013. I'm assuming sometime in the summer when the weather is not as bad as other parts of the year. As to a tour, no. The only tour we would do is the various couches and guest rooms of friends and podcasters that we've met over the years, so that we can not have to spring for a hotel room every night. So if that's a tour, then I guess, yes, there's going to be a Scarra Live tour, and the live element will be in the basement of said houses and such, perhaps to a mirror, when the three of us are talking on podcasts. Because, you know, we'll be podcasting at some point during the course of that. But on stage, no, never, probably not. Well, no.
So what's planned for the rest of the year for Radio Free Skull then?
Well, now that Gallifrey is over, we have some time to kill before the new series starts. So we are doing two things. We're sort of alternating each week. We're doing classic series commentaries, which we thoroughly enjoy because we get to watch old Doctor Who and take the piss of it. And a lot of people seem to like it too, which is nice. They seem to look forward to it. On the alternating weeks, we'll be doing a segment we call the Miniscope, which is where we look at the careers and contributions of directors and writers and musicians and that have worked on Doctor Who over the classic and the new series as well. The stipulation being they have to have appeared in three stories, just so we have something to talk about. So that's always fun. They're both on the commentaries and the Miniscope segments are randomly drawn. So we just sort of randomly, you know, spin the wheel and see what we come up with. And sometimes it comes up gold, and you talk about Douglas Adams or Robert Holmes, and other times you talk about Charles Palmer or Norman Kay. And so it's a bit hit and miss. So we have a bit of a roster of a short list of experts that we might call on to help us in the times that we don't know much about what Cary Blyton, what his, you know, skill with the crumb horn was like in the creating the music for Doctor Who and the Silurians, for instance. We might have to call on some outside help for that, but you never know. So we're starting with Nicholas Mallet, who directed Mysterious Planet, Paradise Towers, and Curse of Fennec, because everyone wants to know what it was like to direct those three epics. So But we find it interesting, and we hope that other people, including our listeners, do as well. So it's a lot of fun, and we'll be doing all those alternating each week, more or less, up until the fall, and then talk when we talk about the new series episodes. Those always are big hits for our listeners, because a lot of the people download those ones because they want to hear what we have to say about it. So they can completely contradict us with their own opinions. But yeah, that's what we'll be doing.
And you also want to do a quick plug for your podcast at the end?
You can find all of our stuff at RadioFreeScarlet.com, including the last five or six, well, the five Gallifrey episodes are all up there, 294 through 298. Which we're quite proud of. I think we worked quite hard and during the course of the day, and we're quite pleased with how they turned out and the interesting things that the various people who attended the convention had to say. Thank you.
Well, thanks very much, Stephen, for your time. And take care and good luck with Radio Free Scoro and related activities. Bye.
We will speak to you later, Ian. Thanks again.
Mondas Podcast. Mondas Podcast with Mondas Podcast. 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 Mondas Podcast.